Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Comunidad de Madrid. Pruebas de certificación. Comprensión de textos orales. Inglés. Certificado de nivel avanzado C2. Convocatoria extraordinaria de 2020.
This test has 3 tasks. You will hear the first 2 tasks twice and task 3 only once. Task 1. You will hear part of a program. Choose the option A, B or C that best completes the sentences according to what you hear and write it in the corresponding white box. Sentence 0 is an example. Now read the sentences.
Hello, I'm Matthew Price. This is Beyond Today, where we ask one big question about one big story. Today, what's the Harvey Weinstein story? There are 2 people we spoke to for this episode.
We sort of conceived it as a portrait of power.
One who's become friends with the women that Harvey Weinstein sexually abused.
And obviously the women were a really important, crucial part of that.
And one who spent a lot of time with the man himself.
I was born on Coney Island, so I know Brooklyn well.
Almost had a fist fight with him.
My 13th book, this one a biography of Harvey Weinstein.
We all know how a powerful movie mogul, a beast of a man, raped and sexually abused women and bullied and fought the men around him. We know how some of his victims found a way to speak out, how eventually they were listened to and believed. But few of us know as much about Harvey Weinstein as Ken Auletta does. He's one of those old-school reporters that the tough streets of New York have kicked up over the years. He's investigated Weinstein for ages. He's got close to him, and he's been writing about him for the New Yorker magazine.
He and his younger brother, Bob, who's 2 years younger, grew up in Flushing, Queens. They lived in a rent-controlled apartment. Their father, Max, was a diamond cutter, worked in the jewelry district in Manhattan. The mother was a housewife, Miriam. And Harvey was very smart, a student. He skipped a grade, as did his younger brother, Bob. He went to the University of Buffalo for college in 1969. Harvey was not fat in high school or initially in college. He was thinner. He was not the Harvey we came to know, this vitriolic, larger-than-life presence. After his junior year, he dropped out of college and started a concert business with one of his roommates, Corky Berger. And it became a very successful music concert business in the Buffalo area. I mean, they got Rolling Stones up there. They got the Grateful Dead. They got Frank Sinatra. And they started to make some real money. He was very successful. His father, Max, when they were young boys, had always taken them to the movies on Saturday when the mother went to the hairdresser. And they fell in love with, particularly with foreign films. So their dream was not to be in the music business, but to be in the movie business. And so in 1979, they moved to New York. The brothers did. and he and his brother started Miramax. They named it after their Miriam and Max, their parents. And Harvey began to display his talents, which are real. He's a great marketer. He was a great reader and decider of scripts, what scripts would work. He's a great believer in the written word. But Harvey then, with success, became more of a belligerent personality. And he was fueled by this anger at Hollywood. One of the reasons they established Miramax in New York rather than Los Angeles, which is the epicenter of the movie business, is they saw themselves, his brother and him, as challengers of the Hollywood establishment. In that sense, it was very Trumpian, in the sense that as Trump is opposed to what he calls the deep state, you know, civil servants and others who've been, Harvey and Bob really were angry and hated so much of what the Hollywood establishment did. And then in 1993, the Walt Disney Company came along, this media giant, and bought them for roughly $80 million. And suddenly the Weinstein brothers had money to produce, not just distribute movies. But Harvey was this tempestuous personality and would get into fights with people, sometimes physical fights, by the way, throwing marble ashtrays at the wall at fellow executives, abusing women who worked for him. I don't mean sexually. He did that too. It was so obvious that the way he treated competitors and people who worked for him, it was a natural extension to go from that dominance over people to his desire to sexually dominate women.
Now, listen again.
Hello, I'm Matthew Price. This is Beyond Today, where we ask one big question about one big story. Today, what's the Harvey Weinstein story? There are two people we spoke to for this episode.
We sort of conceived it as a portrait of power.
One who's become friends with the women that Harvey Weinstein sexually abused.
And obviously the women were a really important, crucial part of that.
And one who spent a lot of time with the man himself.
I was born on Coney Island, so I know Brooklyn well.
Almost had a fist fight with him.
My 13th book, this one a biography of Harvey Weinstein.
We all know how a powerful movie mogul, a beast of a man, raped and sexually abused women and bullied and fought the men around him. We know how some of his victims found a way to speak out, how eventually they were listened to and believed. But few of us know as much about Harvey Weinstein as Ken Auletta does. He's one of those old-school reporters that the tough streets of New York have kicked up over the years. He's investigated Weinstein for ages. He's got close to him, and he's been writing about him for the New Yorker magazine.
He and his younger brother, Bob, who's 2 years younger, grew up in Flushing, Queens. They lived in a rent-controlled apartment. Their father, Max, was a diamond cutter, worked in the jewelry district in Manhattan. The mother was a housewife, Miriam. And Harvey was a very smart student. He skipped a grade, as did his younger brother, Bob. He went to the University of Buffalo for college in 1969. Harvey was not fat in high school or initially in college. He was thinner. He was not the Harvey we came to know, this vitriolic, larger-than-life presence. After his junior year, he dropped out of college and started a concert business with one of his roommates, Corky Berger, And it became a very successful music concert business in the Buffalo area. I mean, they got Rolling Stones up there. They got the Grateful Dead. They got Frank Sinatra. And they started to make some real money. He was very successful. His father, Max, when they were young boys, had always taken them to the movies on Saturday when the mother went to the hairdresser. And they fell in love with, particularly with foreign films. So their dream was not to be in the music business, but to be in the movie business. And so in 1979, they moved to New York. The brothers did. And he and his brother started Miramax. They named it after their Miriam and Max, their parents. And Harvey began to display his talents, which are real. He's a great marketer. He was a great reader and decider of scripts, what scripts would work. He's a great believer in the written word. But Harvey then, with success, became more of a belligerent personality. And he was fueled by this anger at Hollywood. One of the reasons they established Miramax in New York rather than Los Angeles, which is the epicenter of the movie business, is they saw themselves, his brother and him, as challengers of the Hollywood establishment. In that sense, it was very Trumpian, in the sense that as Trump is opposed to what he calls the deep state, you know, civil servants and others who've been, Harvey and Bob really were angry and hated so much of what the Hollywood establishment did. And then in 1993, the Walt Disney Company came along, this media giant, and bought them for roughly $80 million. And suddenly the Weinstein brothers had money to produce, not just distribute movies. But Harvey was this tempestuous personality and would get into fights with people, sometimes physical fights, by the way, throwing marble ashtrays at the wall at fellow executives, abusing women who worked for him. I don't mean sexually. He did that too. It was so obvious that the way he treated competitors and people who worked for him, it was a natural extension to go from that dominance over people to his desire to sexually dominate women.
This is the end of task one.